हरे कृष्ण प्रभु जी, मध्यलीला चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 2 एंड ऑनवर्ड. सो प्लीज प्रभु जी टेक ओवर दिस क्लास.
Okay, I'm just trying to get on the YouTube also. Meanwhile, I'll chant the prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kada Mahyam सदातीत्स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरोन्नवैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णाचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते सप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानन्दा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्दा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. सो वेलकम टू today's class and the YouTube. I'm just trying to adjust the light. So today, let me just turn this around a little bit. Okay. So I was actually working on my next book, which is the Yoga, the philosophy of yoga, and I was preparing for the class yesterday. And as I was preparing for the class, and I was at the same time studying the yoga, focusing on the yoga part, there is in the yoga language and in devotional service, when we practice some of the basic understanding of how we want to purify our consciousness, that aspects of yoga remain the same, whether it is Ashtanga yoga, Karma yoga, Jnana yoga, Ashtanga yoga, or devotion. So the basic aspects where we try to purify our hearts, purify our minds, they remain the same. Therefore, I was, today as I was preparing, I thought these things might, when we understand the root of the benefits of what we are practicing. So, the first begin with the verse as explained here. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Sriya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So firstly, all glories to Sri Chaitanya, Nityananda, Advaita, and all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without the mercy of the Lord, this understanding is not possible, because the main reason is because He is the goal. He is the goal. And we are dependent on Him because we are in ignorance. Although the soul has self-knowledge, but right now the soul is in ignorance, in a condition of ignorance. And because the soul is in ignorant, he has two options of getting knowledge. So one is from the Lord Himself, which is recorded in terms of Shastra, and second is the messenger of the Lord, one who is a pure devotee. So these are the two options. So he is the goal and he is the means also, because the one who guides the devotee, one and which guides the acharya, is the Lord Himself in the form of Shastra. Therefore, everything has to be verified by Shastra, by the word of the Shastra. Although the devotees can, the acharyas can tailor make the Shastra. Just like yesterday I was seeing a big debate. Somebody forwarded me an email. There is a big debate going on ISKCON with some major decision about Diksha Guru and female Diksha Guru and so many things. So somebody was forwarding. But the main underlying point of discussion in that whole thing was, did Prabhupada introduce something which is beyond the Shastra? Because the argument seems to be, oh, Prabhupada was lenient with this, Prabhupada introduced that and this and that. There was a lot of very beautiful discussion. And they were bringing about how to understand Srila Prabhupada, how not to contradict, because at some points even Prabhupada says something and then he says something. So it's very difficult to understand. So that is why, if you understand Shastra, the basis being the Shastra, and then all contradictions can be, you can resolve apparent contradictions when you focus on Shastra. Because one cannot deviate from the Shastra. So everything that we practice, including devotional service, has to be according to Shastra. One cannot come up with his own interpretation. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although very lenient, and he introduced to us a very wonderful system of chanting the holy name, and then on top of it, dance on the streets, bring any instruments you want, all freedom provided, simply chant Hare Krishna. So all this, although there is the provision, yet it has to be within the ambit of the Shastra. So that is why he asked the six Goswamis to go and write the essence of the scriptures. Therefore, he asked the Goswamis, you go and you write the essence of the scriptures. Go to Vrindavan and go and write the essence of the scriptures. Because when people want to practice devotional service, there we have a, humans have a tendency, okay, this is where the yoga understanding comes in, and we will see, Eishuna bhakti phala prema prayojana, yahara shravane haya bhakti rasa jnana. So Mahaprabhu continued, oh here, now hear, O Sanatana, about the result of devotional service, which is the love of Godhead, life's ultimate goal. One who hears this description will be enlightened in the transcendental mellows of devotional service. So, the result of devotional service, so Lord Mahaprabhu is trying to, so result, why is result? Prayojana. So there are three. So one is called Sambandha, one is called Abhideya, and the third is called as Prayojana. So the Prayojana, so everybody likes the Prayojana. So if you go to Sunday feast, or you get a nice Sunday feast, you get to hear class, you get to dance, you get to do some, meet some people. So there is a benefit. Everybody is attracted by the benefits. So here, we should understand, Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. So Shuddha Sattva, so the most important word that I realized in this, the Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma. When devotional service is executed on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is beyond mundane goodness. So when you can execute devotional service beyond mundane goodness, because we are conditioned, we are so conditioned, when we go to, when we dance in kirtan, for example, somebody dances very nicely, then you get immediately inspired to dance and you want to outmaneuver the steps, for example. So when you want to outmaneuver him, you want to do a better steps or something, or you want to be dance very attractively, you want to dance very attractively, all these things. But dancing, Srila Prabhupada said, should be simply for the pleasure of the Lord. Not that we are trying to... I remember when I was like about 17 years ago, when I first went to Chowpatty Temple, in the, I was sitting in the Brahmachari class and Kadam Makkanand Maharaj was giving Bhagavatam Katha, and he was doing Kirtan, and his Kirtan was wild, and I started jumping, and everybody was jumping, and I got so excited, I started, I was a professional break dancer at that time, so I started doing all kinds of break dance, and so it was like, I was very excited, but not everybody was excited, they were thinking, what is wrong with this guy, he's dancing too much. So, in the process of when we try to practice devotional service, the modes that we have cultivated, the samskaras that we have cultivated, they keep popping up time and again. Our previous activities, our previous habits, our previous memories, our previous emotions, they keep pushing up, they keep coming up. So Shuddha Sattva, Sattva itself means when one is, when the Tamoguna and Rajoguna are gone. But Shuddha Sattva is when you are completely free from Sattva Guna also. When you are completely free from Sattva Guna also, and you are in Shuddha Sattva. So that Srila Prabhupada explains as Vasudeva Sthiti, Vasudeve Bhagavati. But in the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So there Vasudeva, Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There is a very, very important meaning to that Vasudeva. It says Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he is the son of Vasudeva, number one. Krishna is the son of Vasudeva, number one. That is number one meaning. But number two, one who is realized in the state of Vasudeva. Vasudeva here, the state of Vasudeva is the Shuddha Sattva. When one is in pure goodness, that is the state one realizes Vasudeva. So you cannot realize him or you cannot understand him when you are in the material modes. Like my spiritual master is focusing, he is a very traditional, conservational, very conservative, very. So when we do these festivals, like we have a lot of festivals, 24-hour kirtan and this and that, and we do so many things, and I tell him, oh, this festival, you know, wish I could be a nice kirtan here, this and that. He said, this is all nice to attract people, but kirtan should go on 24 hours anyway, and Krishna doesn't look at your tune. So Krishna looks at your heart, the mode in which you are chanting. So if you are chanting in the mode of rajas to attract the followers, if your kirtan is very attractive, but your sadhana is not there, if the purity is not there, then it might be attractive, but it is not beneficial. So the danger of hearing from a kirtan from a materially one who is materially not yet pure, so to speak, who is not in the mode of pure goodness, who is not doing it in the as a form of pure service to the Lord, when you hear, then you get that same desire, you get the same seed within your own heart. Therefore, hearing from a devotee who is in the mode of pure goodness, this is very, very critical. So the first thing in this verse is Shuddha Sattva, Vasudeva. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first line it says, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the one who is realized when you are in Shuddha Sattva only. I was reading this Yoga Sutra. So in this Yoga Sutra, there is 7 types of samadhi. Of course, it is 4 main types. Then it's divided into some subtypes. So he says, vitarka vichara. So vitarka means when you look at this world, you do tarka. When you look at this world, what is this? You know, you see Empire State Building, you see beautiful cities, you see something is very attractive, very wonderful, but you do tarka. Ultimately, everything will end. Ultimately, this body will end. And when it will end, what will happen to you? Where are you going to go? You begin to think. So in the first stage of samadhi, one does tarka, one realizes, oh my God, even if I enjoy this world, death will pull me away. Where am I going to go? What is my destination? There are 2 options. One, I don't worry about it. When I die, I will see. But now let me enjoy. But that is a very dangerous thought process. So when one has philosophically concluded that this world is very dangerous, and any moment I could, you know, be pulled off. And so that's why Krishna says, Raga Dvesha Vimukta is too. He is completely free from attraction and aversion. So the second thing that happens is when you have enjoyed something too much, and then you are fed up with it, you become very frustrated. So when we become Hare Krishna devotees, what happens? First thing is we curse this material world. It's horrible. This, you know, like, oh, these people are like this. They are killing cow. They are doing this. They are doing that. So we become very averse. So Krishna says both are not good. Attraction or aversion. One should be neutral. So vitarka vichara. So in the second stage of samadhi, it talks about vichara. When one is understanding the world in a subtle mode, you understand that behind everything there is the energy. So the one that is controlling the body, there is the mind, there is the intelligence, there is ego. So you become aware of the subtle aspects of this world, how the world is working, how there is subtle energy behind every working in this world. So as you become, and then as you go within ananda, the third type of samadhi, which is explained, he says ananda. Ananda means when one becomes aware of his subtle body, his the working of his subtle body. Wouldn't it be nice if I could, when I am sensing something, I am able to digest that information in a right way? Just like Shankaracharya says, when you look at somebody who is the opposite sex, for a man it's a woman, for a woman it's a man. So when you look at the opposite sex, you should really be able to see that there is nothing enjoyable. It is the same suffering body. What is there to enjoy? It is also made up of blood, stool, urine. It is also suffering. And if when you are aware of the suffering, so for that you have to be aware of your subtle body, your suffering, your situation. So, Atmavan Manyate Jagat, you see everybody else in the same platform. So when you are able to see that way, that is called as viveka khyati, discrimination, intelligence one develops. But even that is not Shuddha Sattva. So Shuddha Sattva means one becomes totally neutral to this world. Ananda, Asmita. So Asmita means even higher. Asmita means one is very close to realizing the ego. Because actually if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it explains that the ahankara from which we evolute, the subtle body evolutes, the ahankara is in the mode of goodness. I was really surprised. How come ahankara is in the mode of goodness? How can ahankara be in the mode of goodness? But it is in the mode of goodness. It is the nature. So it is the nature. So Patanjali goes on to say here, that the yogi, when he withdraws, so this is, he calls this the four-step withdrawal. When you externally vitarka, you know, you either by experience, either by philosophy, you come to know this material world is suffering. And then you come to the second level, where you understand everything, behind everything, there is this subtle energy. Then you withdraw further, and you focus on you are aware of your meditation is more within, because now you are fed up with this material world. You understand that the same energy that is everywhere is within you also. So then you focus on yourself, because yet Brahmande tat pindande. If you realize yourself, you realize the universe. The body is a mini universe. So then he realizes because right now the soul's identification. So this is the last step before you go into the Shuddha Sattva. So the soul is identifying right now, it is of a reflection of itself. We have a very strong attraction to this body because the soul's consciousness is being reflected from the ahankara or the subtle body. The subtle body, the ahankara, then there is first comes the buddhi, actually. Buddhi, then ahankara, then the mind, then the senses. So whatever inputs you get, into the body, the senses and the body, they are first processed by the mind. So mind, according to its vritti, according to its conditioning, the mind accepts or rejects. The mind has only two functions, accept, reject. I like it, I want to enjoy it, immediately you process and then the mind provides the information to ego. So ego means like whether I want it. So ego here is where you are identifying with the body or the mind or your material body in general. Ego sends it to the intelligence. Now when the intelligence is strong, the intelligence, if it is strengthened by study of Shastra, one of the qualities of intelligence is memory. So when the memory is very strong, the intelligence is very strong, immediately when the thought or the desire comes in, the intelligence is able to discriminate whether this is good for me or whether this is bad for me. So that is why we call the practice of bhakti as buddhi yoga. Buddhi means to buddh, the root word buddh, to be awake, to be aware. So the yogi, when he becomes aware of by Shastra, the yogi is aware that there are three things in this world, matter, spirit and controller of both. So he realizes that I am the soul, Atma, and there is Paramatma by the Shastra Pramana. The intelligence is strengthened by Shastra Pramana. And when the input comes to the intelligence, if the intelligence is strong, at the same time, the senses and the body are also purified. Also, even it is not that sannyasis don't get desire. The sannyasis also are, we see in the case of Chota Haridas, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, even a sannyasi who was an associate of Lord Chaitanya, he developed a desire within his heart, and eventually he was rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be taught a lesson, and he gave up his body. So we realize, so desire comes up. Simple thing. Two people are doing serving prasadam, and one is thinking, oh, I am serving better. You know, that our ego, intelligence, you know, all these different faculties, because we are not purified, our previous samskaras keep attacking, they keep coming up. So the intelligence is strong, at the same time the mind senses are purified, there is a balance. But we can see that Krishna says that when the senses, the mind, they are in the mode of rajas, tamas, even a man of discrimination, his senses can be carried away. So right now, the soul is identifying with a reflection from the subtle body. As your subtle body gets purified, how is it getting purified? So that is why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, by ecstatic chanting, you go nowhere. Chanting, thinking, oh, I have to cook now, I have to... When chanting, focus only on chanting. I realized, before I was teaching yoga, the same principle if you apply while chanting, because the principle is the same, that when you chant, you don't hear anything else. Just hear, Prabhupada said. There is no need to think anything. We have to keep on hearing the holy name. Make it a habit. We have to cultivate this habit. And as we keep on hearing, and train the mind not to think of anything else. And even if some thought comes, we become indifferent to it. So this is the same principle, the same philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita, that you become free from raga dvesha, that you become free from attraction and aversion. Same principle you apply in your chanting, that you become neutral. You have to focus on the holy name. That's it. Krishna's name is so potent. If I hear attentively, if the holy name enters my, penetrates my ear attentively, if then it will penetrate my heart. If I am hearing, at the same time I am thinking too many things in my heart, the holy name is bumped off that sound. I have to hear attentively, and we have to make a practice. For this, very beautifully, Burijan Prabhu explains in his book Japa, he says, one mantra at a time. Concentrate one mantra at a time. And before the next mantra, immediately, you from one mantra to next mantra. In between, do not entertain thoughts. Keep one mantra is over, next mantra, next mantra. You keep on focusing your consciousness. Every mantra you invite with lot of love, with lot of determination. That is why what you practice throughout the day, the mentality with which you practice, we cannot be binge eating, we cannot go on something where our senses go wild and next day we are able to chant. No, the mentality should remain the same, that one should remain neutral to this material world. So coming back to the point, when the soul, the light from the soul, the consciousness from the soul, the mind is actually dead matter. The mind and intelligence, the body is all dead matter. This is all dead matter. But the soul thinks this is alive. Can you imagine? I am looking at my body all day. I am very conscious. I am thinking this is me, this is me, this is me. And we are so ingrained, we are so embedded within the personality of the body and the mind. We think this is us. But a liberated soul, on the other hand, is freed from that identification, means the soul's consciousness doesn't have to bump off the subtle body for the soul to think this is me. He is completely situated in the platform of the soul. But the soul realizes that there is this body and I have to wait, and the Lord is making the arrangement. So Shuddha Sattva means beyond mode of goodness. Beyond mode of goodness. So what happens in the mode of goodness? In the mode of goodness also, there is a feeling of happiness. There is a feeling of lightness. In the mode of goodness, what about the mode of beyond goodness? So that is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the state of Vasudeva, where Krishna becomes manifest in the mode of pure goodness. The example is given by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He explains that during Darshan Arati at 7:30, different devotees go to take Darshan of the Lord. And one who is a Bhagavat, one who has realized the Srimad Bhagavatam, one who is reading the Srimad Bhagavatam all the time, and one who sees Krishna everywhere, because if, that is why it says, in the Bhagavatam, Dhigyate Hrudaya Granthi. So what can be achieved by the practice of yoga? That is the purification of heart, cutting off the knots within the heart. Everything can be achieved of all the practices of jnana, dhyana. All these practices can be achieved simply by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam attentively. So that is why it says, Shushru Shubhi Takshana, don't delay. Because the mind is always, it is bound by time, it is always thinking a time will come when I will do this, a time will come, it is always waiting for time, it is waiting for our desires to end. Once I finish this desire, everything will start. No, hear attentively. So as the Srimad Bhagavatam penetrates your heart, gradually all these tada, rajas, tamo, bhava, all these rajas, tamas, all these knots, vidyate hrudaya granthi. So there are knots. So every bad experience or good experiences creates in our heart a knot, creates a muddle of thoughts, vritti. It stops us from going beyond the body and mind. So these knots can be penetrated, can be broken, can be slashed by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name. So that is why Srila Prabhupada said 99% of our spiritual progress is chanting, hearing and chanting. So that includes hearing the holy name and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. If, as the devotees, if we don't take out time, when Bhakti Rasamrit Maharaj gives this wonderful example, when he was sent to Belgaum temple to take over that temple, and there were 3-4 groups of devotees that came. He said, देखो इधर ज्यादा कुछ करने का नहीं है, हम लोग चला रहे हैं, ज्यादा एंट्री नहीं करने का. सो दे केम विद लाइक धमकी एंड ऑल दैट. भक्ति रसामृत महाराज सेड, ओके वी विल नॉट टॉक, आई डोंट वांट टू टॉक टू यू. ही सेड फर्स्ट लेट अस चैंट फॉर नेक्स्ट फ्यू मंथ्स, वी विल ओनली चैंट, वी विल नॉट टॉक. We will only chant and we will hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1 hour class plus 2 hours Srila Prabhupada's book study, entire morning program, Srimad Bhagavatam class, and 2 hours study of 2 hours systematic study of Prabhupada's book. Then we will talk. As they did after few months, there was no talk. They said, okay, let's do main program and then we will think of talking. And after a few months, the atmosphere was so changed, everybody was crying and surrendering to him. Because this process is so potent, so powerful. There is a warning though. As I was preparing that Patanjali gives, that a practitioner of a yoga of bhakti or ashtanga yoga or anybody, if we progress and at some point we feel we have progressed enough to the point where we will where we think we do not need to systematically practice our sadhana, or we don't take sadhana very, very seriously. Like without sadhana, I'm going to be finished. If we do not take that, if we are not humble, then the fall down of such a yogi is imminent. Because there are many yogis, many of us. As we progress, we should understand that the difficulty level increases. Our concentration or meditation should go deeper. Why? We have to practice devotional service for 2 reasons. One, yes, to liberate ourselves. Second, to be an example. The moment a devotee, especially in our society today, you become a devotee, you practice, immediately you become an example also. So we have 2 reasons to practice. One, for our own. We may be beyond those rules. But just like the father of Sita, Janak Maharaj. So Janak Maharaj was a liberated soul, and Krishna gives the example in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. He explains that Janak Maharaj is a liberated soul, yet he remained the king. Why did he say, yet he remained the king? He is not attached to his kingdom. He is not interested in his kingdom. He doesn't have to enjoy anything. He is free from karma. He is free from desire, material desire. Yet, he continued to remain the king. Why? To be an example for others. How to be an ideal king? How to be an ideal devotee? So, Srila Prabhupada, it is not that he could not dance or this or that, but everything he did as an acharya. Because people will follow whatever he does. People will quote whatever he quotes. So, although he could take the no rules applied to him. He did not wear saffron cloth, this and that, and he followed this rule and that rule. No, Srila Prabhupada need not have followed any rules. He is a liberated soul. He doesn't need any rule. But why did he follow? The only reason he followed was to be an example for others. So as devotees, we need to continue our sadhana very, very deeply. Now coming to the point of Shuddha Sattva. So Shuddha Sattva means when we go beyond Sattva Guna. For that, first we have to come to Sattva Guna, where our Rajas and Tamas is completely gone. And that is why very important that our attitude in devotional service is like. Other day I was listening to a beautiful class by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and Maharaj said, Krishna is not pleased with your position. So we may be a big temple president, we may be a big fundraiser or big preaching department, something, we could be anything big in a big temple. But if we become proud, if we think whatever I am doing is devotional service, no, you can do anything and it can, in the temple, you may think it is devotional service, but you can get the material benefit out of that. You can do pure karma kanda living in a temple also. But if your attitude is right, what Krishna accepts is not what you offer. Krishna accepts the love with which you offer. So devotional service only depends on our attitude. So when our attitude is freed from rajas and tamas, and firstly come to sattva, where one is completely conscious of the Lord, where one is in the mode of goodness, one is acting purely focused on self-realization, and Shuddha Sattva, where one is fully, where the soul is fully aware of the Lord and does everything with such surrendered love and devotion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is talking about Shuddha Sattva, bhakti in Shuddha Sattva. Rupa Goswami, Radharaman Maharaj used to tell me, Rupa Goswami said, to relish devotion, you need second birth. Because we have started, we haven't had Garbhadana Sanskara or something, you know, or when you go through fights and material samskaras, it's very difficult to undo them and to come to this platform of Shuddha Sattva. But it can be achieved. But it can be achieved if we chant, hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the association, if we are serious, if we practice sustained, if we regularly every day we chant, we read, we study, we give our heart and soul. Ultimately, like Aindra Prabhu says, that chanting offensively we chant anyway, but offenselessly means chanting with complete attention. Offenselessly, complete attention. Giving up everything else and giving full attention to Krishna. He is on my tongue, he is in my heart, he is at my door, he is everywhere. I am chanting his name. I have to be fully attentive. So chanting offenselessly. But then the pure chanting, that is Krishna's mercy. So we say aparadha yukta nam, aparadha shunya nam, and shuddha nam. So shuddha nam is only mercy. So when the Lord or his pure devotee, they are pleased with our service attitude, our attitude, then they give you the pure name, which is very, 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 very rare. Pure name, where you are relishing, where your mind conscious, where your, just like in the Bhagavatam, it says in third canto, it says that when one reaches the stage of pure devotion, the mind doesn't exist anymore. The body doesn't exist. So the subtle body does not exist anymore, and only the soul per se exists in a liberated condition. So yes, like Mahaprabhu says, Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Prema. When devotional service is executed on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a sunray of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various states, and one is situated in bhava. So let's all try to chant very, very attentively and keep a right loving attitude, humble attitude, and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and strive by appropriate means so that we, within this life, we are able to achieve Shuddha Sattva. And one should consider this is life and soul. This activity, life and soul. This should be our life and soul. So please, Krishna, Krishna says, tells Arjuna, be a yogi. Live the life of a yogi. Eat controlled, sleep controlled, everything in a moderate way, everything very intelligent way. So intelligent is the intelligence is what we are granted by Krishna when we become mature. So thank you all so much. So any questions or comments on today's class?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Vandanam Pranam. Thank you so much. Thank you first of all for the YouTube live. It was super clear. It was very, very nice. The class was also very nice about Shuddha Sattva. So I have a question based on the verse. In that case, then only when a person goes on to the stage of Bhava, actually Shuddha Sattva is manifest in him, is it? That's how we understand this?
Yes, because it's like Krishna, the deity of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So I forgot to finish that point. So Tamakrishna Maharaj says that when the deity's darshan is taking place, a neophyte will not see that this is Krishna himself, although he has a semblance, he has a idea, oh, this is the Lord, and he gets some feelings. Like when we come to ISKCON or we become devotees, in the beginning we get Krishna gives us a trailer. Our heart melts, we begin to cry, looking at the deity of Krishna, we fall on the ground, we go through some wonderful experiences, and then our heart becomes fixed. Then the trailer is over, then the real movie starts. So then our heart has so many anartha, so that is why the next stage is anartha nivritti, sadhu sangha, then anartha nivritti. So when your heart gets purified of all these previous samskaras, they are all plucked and thrown away. Your heart gets clean. So then the rajas and tamas, what the rajas and tamas could do, they cannot do anymore. Because the heart, the thing is, it has to be a both way vibration. So suppose you go to a movie theater and, you know, you are very attracted. You are going with friends. You want to watch. You want to enjoy. But because your heart is now purified, you cannot enjoy it anymore. You don't see that connection because your heart, that samskara is gone. So gradually these rajas and tamas, they cannot act on you. So then Shuddha Sattva, you come to continuity of Sattva Guna. You come into a continuity, means every moment, you know, you are, and even in sleep, you are aware, like there is sattvic, rajasic and tamasic sleep also. So even in sleep, you are not like getting bad dreams and this and that, you know, you are completely aware, your heart is clean. So gradually, when this sattva becomes continuous, then you progress into Shuddha Sattva. And when in Shuddha Sattva, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, they cannot produce, they cannot agitate you, they cannot disturb you, and your focus on Krishna, your focus on devotion is so fixed. And when you are so fixed, when you are fully absorbed, so these are the two things that we lack right now. If you see our chanting, we are disturbed by thoughts, we are not fixed, we are not able to absorb fully. So in Shuddha Sattva, these two things become manifest. Complete absorption, you know, complete. There is no material tinge at all. Material tinge means sattva, rajas, tamo, guna. There is no material tinge. It is only pure. the pure absorption of the soul, the material faculties, they exist only to help. So that is why Krishna says that when the mind becomes your friend, when the mind acquires the nature of beyond the guna, that mind is exists as though it doesn't exist. Its material nature is gone. So you are able to completely absorb without. That is why there is examples of Mirabai and all these devotees. They don't get disturbed by any material happening. And somehow there are so many miracles that happen. Their absorption is so deep, so focused. That is why this is Shuddha Sattva. One has to bring the body, the mind. That is why the practice, sadhana, is very, very important. Ram Prabhu tells very beautifully. He says, during Mahaprabhu's time, anyone who saw Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu saw anybody, they got love of Godhead immediately. But today, what we get, bhakti lata bija, you get a bija from the Guru. You get only the seed. When you get initiated, you get the seed. Means we are full of impurities. All that, we have so many seeds in our heart, but you get the seed of bhakti. We have to water that. We have to remove all those other seeds. We have to remove the weeds. We have to clear the heart. And then that seed will, you know, manifest, you know, into pure love of God. So one has to progress beyond the guna, which is, as far as now that I am focusing on this book and I am on, especially when you focus on the gunas, I mean, it's a continuous activity of the mind. You know, you cannot take a break. So yes, when you reach Shuddha Sattva, you are on the platform of Brahma Bhuta. You are on the platform of the soul. No material guna is affecting you, which can disturb your mind, which can disturb your intelligence. You are on the platform of pure, of the soul. So that is why Srila Prabhupada, his body, I mean, anybody with such a heart attack, he can't, nobody with three heart attacks can come and do such huge preaching. He was beyond the body. It was on the pure platform of the soul only. So that platform is achieved by very few. Those who strive, you know, so we have to really strive. And as per Shastra, you know, we cannot, that's the thing here. We cannot make things up. This is beneficial, this is good, this, I think this activity is good. No, yes, we should adapt, but at the same time, that's why we need the guidance of the Shastra in order to overcome the modes.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very nicely explained. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have one question. You just mentioned Mother Bhakti Lata Beach. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Goswami says, the Krishna Prem Satya ka gunai.
Can you be a bit louder, Mataji? I cannot hear very clearly.
Yes, sir. Nitya Suddha 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 Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabu Nai Shramanadi Suddha Chitte Karai Udai. So if the Krishna Prem is there, so then, and also then, it's also said that by mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get the seed of the Krishna Prem. So could you explain, because sometimes I think about it, why this is two different, to me it's like different opposite things. If it's there, then why it says by the Guru and Krishna's mercy we get the seed of.
Yeah, the soul naturally is Krishna conscious. Yes. But the thing is, right now, because the soul has given up its true nature of loving devotion to Krishna, that nature, because he's not in its, his true activity. So what is the true activity of the soul? That is to render loving service to the Lord as per His desire. That is the thing, to render loving devotional service to the Lord as per the desire of the Lord. So this is the natural position of the soul. But because of millions of material births, this has been covered with the dust. Now this activity is now completely full of material lust. So in order for us to cultivate or bring up our true nature, the liberated soul grants us that vision. Liberated soul, he grants us that vision which in our heart it begins, the whole idea, the whole focus is that this seed will spring up our true nature. Our nature is already to love Krishna, that Krishna Prema is already there, yes. But because it is covered today and because it is full of offenses, the soul by itself is not capable of reaching the stage of devotional service. That's why Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita repeatedly, in the Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, he says there is different kinds of yoga, yajna, all these different things are there, but none of them give us devotion. So this loving devotion, the seed of loving devotion is planted. And if we act on it, then gradually when the seed matures, our true nature becomes manifest. And that is called as Swarupa Siddhi. Swarupa Siddhi means his true nature becomes uncovered. So that is when the seed becomes fructified, his true nature becomes manifest. So we are only trying to manifest our true nature, but because it is like somebody is imprisoned and only by his good behavior the judge will give him parole. Means he has good behavior, now let's leave him. So similarly, just like a prison, there is a program to become a good person so that he can get a parole. So similarly, this Bhakti Lata Bija is now, okay, now you are given an opportunity to act based on your true nature. So this seed is implanted. Now we have to act following the four regulative principles, chanting the 16 rounds, being with devotees. We have to do all these things by which our true nature becomes manifest. So prema is already there actually. It is manifesting. But bhakti is manifested by bhakti only. There is no other cause. So in order for our bhakti which is within us to sprout, to come up, to uncover, the only way to infuse, the only way to extract that from the heart is by a seed of bhakti. So bhakti comes from bhakti. There is no other cause. So when the Lord says it's giving prema, it is actually whatever is our true nature. The Lord is, of course, giving us a higher taste of Goloka Vrindavan, that higher prema. But prema is already there within the soul. But of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy is to give every soul, qualified or not, the prema of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna.
Thank you, Swami.
Hare
Krishna. If anybody has a question, please go ahead.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for class. A couple questions. One is, I just want to confirm that Shuddhasattva is not simply the material mode of goodness that is devoid of any connection with the mode of ignorance or passion. Because I have heard that said in another lecture, you know, that when the material mode of goodness becomes completely freed from passion and ignorance, then you have Shuddhasattva. But then I've also heard that Shuddhasattva is ontologically different from even the material mode of goodness. So if you could just clarify.
Yeah. So the thing is, sattva is still a material mode. So in any material mode, so that is why there is the word called as gunatita, means beyond the material guna. Therefore, of course, pure goodness, which is devoid of passion and ignorance, is beneficial, yes, for the soul. It is very, very beneficial when one comes to that point. But then, it is said, even mode of goodness is binding. One has to go beyond the mode of goodness, and that is what they call as Shuddha Sattva, a state which is beyond the material modes. Yes, the Sanskrit term sounds Shuddha Sattva, means like purified or pure mode of goodness, which it sounds like. But in yoga scriptures itself, there is a sutra which says, Sattaram Purushakhyatehe Gunavaitrishnam. To be situated in the nature of the soul is to go beyond the guna, is to go beyond the material modes. Because even the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness, to material happiness, to a certain degree of material happiness. So devotional service, pure devotional service has no connection with material modes. It is the activity of the soul with the Lord. And there are three things which are transcendental, according to, which is called transcendental. So that is according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Lord and devotional service and the devotee. So these three things are transcendental. Even if you see the translation, it says transcendental platform. So this transcendental platform, yes, when goodness is completely pure, you get a semblance of it. But then to be situated in the transcendental platform is going beyond the material goodness. So that is what we call as pure goodness. Yes. So yes.
Yeah, and actually, even isn't, I think it's, my understanding too is that it's even impossible for the material mode of goodness to be completely devoid of connection with passion and ignorance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Prabhu. And just one last question. You had made a statement earlier, and I didn't catch the first half of the statement. The second half, you said, and that is why it is said that 99% of our devotional service depends on the chanting. So do you remember what the first half of that statement was? I know it was a long time ago, but
okay.
you were giving reason why 99% of our devotional service depends on chanting.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about our progress, as far as I remember. So our spiritual progress depends 99% on hearing and chanting, especially our chanting and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what I clearly remember. So I was talking about the different ways to talking about our progress in how we can progress in devotional service. In that context, I was just saying the Prabhupada has outlined very clearly that the 99% of our spiritual progress is by chanting the holy name and reading the Srimad Bhagavatam.
And the reason for that is what? The reason why 99% depends on the hearing, chanting, what's the reason for that?
The primary process. See, the thing is, we should understand that although we perform everything else, but the Yuga Dharma in this age is chanting only. This is not the age of deity worship. This is not the age of deity worship or anything else. Although our main activity is what do? We basically do chanting, we eat prasadam, we do deity worship. Basically, these are the things that we do. But deity worship was in Dwapara Yuga. The process was the only process. But in Kali Yuga, deity worship is not the process. Deity worship is a supportive limb. Is a supportive limb to chanting. Because we are not able to chant the whole day, the real process is we just chant. And we do Sankirtan on the streets. And we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam was especially written for the Kali Yuga, for the lost souls in Kali Yuga. So Srimad Bhagavatam was especially written for the Kali Yuga souls. Second, so that verse is to prove that no other process can actually, if I do only deity service, it could give me, just like if you follow all the rules of deity worship, Gauranga Prabhu said in one class, it was very interesting, hilarious also, he said, if you follow all the rules of deity worship, you will not even come out of the bathroom because you have to be so clean. You look at the worship, it's like Dwapara Yuga. They go take a bath in the tank and then they come. They don't even touch anything else. You know, when they walk also, they walk like they wash, keep washing the path where they are walking and keep walking. So it has to be, so that is so difficult to maintain that purity. And it's very, very rarely achieved. So the process, so that is a Srila Prabhupada, in order to emphasize so that we don't get confused. Because we are doing so many things and we think, you know, everything is beneficial. Provided, just like there is a method, in the 7-day Bhagavad Gita course, Krishnam Prabhu, he gave a beautiful example. He said, when you fill a jar, when you want to fill a jar completely, then so that when you put water, you know, you are putting rocks into a jar. And you want to fill it up in such a way that no water can, you know, stand, you know, in it as much as possible. So first you put the big rocks. First you don't put the small rocks. So first you put the big rocks. And then you put the small rocks so that it fills in between, you know, to fill it up. So he said the big rocks in our movement, the big rocks are actually the chanting and the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, association of devotees, so that we can perform hearing and chanting. But the other things are the small rocks, because temple, we can chant without the temple, but why is temple needed? Yes, it provides a congregation point for so many devotees, for us to go there. So we get to congregate. So the only purpose, just like Madhavananda Prabhu said in one class, what is the purpose of a temple? That the purpose of a temple is to facilitate systematic study of Srimad Bhagavatam and offenseless chanting of the holy name. That is the only purpose of the temple. So everything else is done. So we get punya. The devotional service, definitely anything you do in the temple, you get punya, you get good karma. But for it to qualify as devotional service, what are the activities that need to be done? That is the chanting, of course the attitude, but mostly it is chanting in the, and when you follow the process of the yoga, your progress is very, very, very fast. We can do devotional service, but it will take in the deity worship, but it will take a long, long time. But in Kali Yuga, it is said, you chant the holy name, Srila Prabhupada said, you are taking a lift. So that is the benefit, that is the process of this age, and only that process can give us the maximum benefit. So that's why I emphasize that hearing the holy name and studying the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you very much for that explanation.
Thank you very much
for your very enlightening class today, and we are very grateful to you. We look forward to your association again in future. If nobody has any questions, we can end the call here. मंचाकृपतिर्यस्य कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. श्री चैतन्य चिंतामृत की जय. श्री प्रभुपाद की जय.
जय
गौरनाथ प्रभु की जय.
जय.